Amen. Great. If you would like to go on a treasure hunt, why don't you come to the front? Treasure hunt, treasure hunt, treasure hunt. Come to the front, come to the front, come to the front. Brilliant. Got lots of volunteers. Come on, come on. Keep coming, keep coming. They need everyone. They need all the help they can get. Okay, brilliant. So, somewhere hidden in this building are some chocolate. I am going to give you 30 seconds to find it. 30 seconds to find it. Look, suddenly the children got a lot older. Interestingly, I never said any children who want to find. Well done. Just get out of here. Okay, you've got 30 seconds to find it. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Time started. I should have had some music. That's 10 seconds. Is it in the kitchen? I'm not telling you. That's 15 seconds. 5. Oh, there we go. Okay, 10 seconds now. Let's everyone else who's not giving the countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop. Come to the front. If you've got the chocolate, give me a wave and bring it to the front. Everyone come to the front. Everyone come to the front.
It's a trick question.
He knows me too well. Anyone managed to find it? Anybody at all? We seem to have lost a few people. Sorry, I forgot to risk it. There really is a lot more less children. Where have I lost them all to? Okay, so, did anyone find it?
No.
Was that quite hard?
No.
No, it wasn't too hard.
I found a chocolate biscuit.
Oh, you found a chocolate biscuit. Brilliant. Okay, would it have been more helpful if I'd given you the map where it was?
Yes.
Would that have been a little bit more helpful? So if I show you where it is, if you're all coming close, so can you work it out? Can you see where it is? Don't follow him. Have a look at the map. Don't follow him. Have a look at the map. Don't follow him. Have a look at the map.
Am I blind?
X marks the spot. X marks the spot. Hey! Come on back to the front. Amazing. Let's give them all a round of applause. Thank you for that. If you want to open them, if you want to come and grab, everyone is involved in their treasure hunt, if you want to come and grab a sweet, and anyone who wasn't involved, if there's any left, you can have some as we're walking out. Brilliant. Great. So, these guys have been on a treasure hunt, trying to find something. So much easier when you get a little bit more information, when you get something to help you with the plan. Something to do, something that's given to you that enables you to do the thing so much more easily. Let's hold on to that as we come to this passage. Last week, and we're going to use this time to come into remembering Jesus. So together we're going to give thanks and remember him through communion. And we'll do that together as families. But last week, for those that weren't here, we were looking at the story of Moses and the burning bush. Moses being spoken to by God in a burning bush. In the midst of all that's going on. If you were here in week one, you remember that Moses' life was split into three sections. His first section was 40 years. He lived and grew up in Egypt for 40 years, being raised as an Egyptian, but looked after by his own mother. But at the end of that 40 years, he began to realize that there was something wrong. He began to understand who he was and that what he could see of the way the Egyptians were treating God's people was not good. And he tried to get involved. And it all went horribly wrong. And one of the questions in our quiz was, what did he do? Well, he killed an Egyptian. He thought he got away with it, but then the next day he came back and he tried to intervene in another one. This time between two Israelites, two people that were God's people, that were in slavery. He tried to step in and they looked at him and went, what were you going to do? You're going to kill one of us. And he realized that it was out, that people knew what he'd done, and he ran away. But he was 40 years old when he ran away. He runs into the desert. He runs into the wilderness to get away. Did he know where he was going? I don't think he would have done. He just wanted to get away. He ended up at a well. He met some people, including Zipporah, who we find out later that he marries. And he gets drawn into her family. And he becomes a shepherd. He's there for another 40 years. So this is all not just quick, like we read it in Exodus. We're into chapter 4 of Exodus. All suddenly it's happened really quickly. It's 40 years. And then another 40 years. That middle 40 years, God hasn't said anything that we know of. But suddenly, God speaks. And Morag and Chris looked at this passage, but what I just want to pull out just as we think about this story is what it was that he called Moses to do. He said, go. He says, go. I am sending you. I am sending you to go back to where you came from. And over again in that passage, in that reading of what Moses says to, what God says to Moses, is a message of go. I am sending you. Go. And wouldn't it be great if every single one of us in the room had a burning bush experience? Wouldn't that be amazing? If we just had one of those moments where the burning bush appeared and we just kind of know, right, that's what my life's all about. Yeah? I imagine that some people who went to New Wine would be going thinking that could be this thing. That God's going to speak to me in this moment, in this place, because God is more at New Wine than anywhere else. He's not. But we're waiting. But God said to each one of us, go. He's already said it. His scriptures tell us. We don't have to have a burning bush experience to know what God said. He said, go. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. The most important commandment is to love God, to worship him, to put him first and center. But the commission, the greatest commission, is to go. To go and be people who seek his kingdom. Whatever that looks like, in whatever context, go back, he says to Moses. Not go to somewhere new. Now, some people get called to new places. Natalie and I got the privilege of being able to go to New Zealand for a few years. We'd never been there. Don't know if we'll ever go back there. So we got to go somewhere different. But for many of us, we're going back to the place that he's already put us. That we've already been in this last week. That we're going back to in this next week. He's calling us to be a people who go. People who are sent by him to seek his kingdom wherever we are. But he doesn't just leave us to do that alone. You see, in this story, even Moses hearing this in a burning bush, brightly blazing, was absolutely petrified. And he goes through all these things. Well, who do I say? Who do I say is sending me? And so God says, I am who I am. And then he says, the bit that we saw today, well, what happens if they don't believe me? And he says, pick up your staff, lay it on the ground, and watch. And as he laid the staff on the ground, it turned to a snake. The power of God was evident. He said to Moses, you go, and I am with you. And I will give you everything you need. Everything you need. And interestingly, in that story, we see it illustrated in the film, and you kind of think, oh, is that really what happened? But if you go into scriptures, you see that, that the Pharaoh gathered some of his magicians, and they did exactly the same with the staff. You kind of think, whoa, what just happens? How does that work? But then, right at the end of that little bit, Moses' staff eats the other snakes and then turns back into a staff. The power of God is given to his people so that they can be who he's called them to be. All his provision is given to us, naturally and supernaturally, to be able to do everything that he's called us to do. And so we get our passage today that we read about not worrying. And in some ways, this passage is a very practical do not worry. It's a very natural thing. What about the clothes on our backs? If we go and do these things that God tells us to do, what about? What about my career? What about my pension? What about buying a house? What about this? What about that? What about the thing that we hold on to when we hear God say, I've got a plan for you, that we go, yeah, but God, what about? And he says, naturally and supernaturally, I've got it all. I've got everything you need. You don't need to worry. All you need to do is seek the kingdom, to go after what God has called you to go after, to focus on him. He'll do the rest. When you stand up and say to somebody, I'm a Christian, let him lead you. Take his encouragement that he is with you. When you've got to stand up and do something that is different to the other people around you, remember he's with you and he's got you. It may not feel comfortable, but he's got you. When you have to make a decision about what to do next, and you think this is an amazing opportunity right over here, but I have no idea where God's kingdom is going in that place, or I've got no idea who the community of God is that I've been put with, or I could stay here and be a part of something that's going on here. Ask God, where am I seeking the kingdom? Not which one's got more money or which one's got more opportunity or anything like that, but where is God's kingdom being brought about? Where is he asking me? Where is he asking you? Because when we do that, we know that his provision comes with us. Natalie and I, in our first year of marriage, we're 20 years this year, which is slightly scary. It's an amazing experience. It's an amazing time. But it's the 20 years just feels like, amazing. Just that journey and all that's gone on in that time is just amazing. But our first year of marriage, we knew what God was calling us to do. We knew that he was calling Natalie to train to teach, and that I was meant to spend some time within an internship and a leadership structure at a church in Sheffield. Neither of them paid. Neither of them were paid roles. But we just knew that that's what God was calling us to do. So we trusted. And God's miraculous provision was incredible. Money through the door. People just giving us at the right time. Opportunities to go and serve other churches that blessed us in ways we couldn't ever have imagined. There was one time where we got very close to kind of thought, we haven't got the money to pay the next mortgage, the next rent. We need to get an overdraft to cover it. And so we were just, shouldn't we? And we'd just been away to do a house party for another group of people. And they'd taken an offering at that time. There was a whole group of us as leaders that were there, and they took an offering. And just as we just organized for that overdraft to be in place so that we were covered. Just done that. Natalie came to church to meet me where I was working. And the person who had been coordinating the whole and leading the whole week gave us a check to cover the cost of, or to pay for us, or to bless us for the week that we'd just been having. And it was exactly the right amount of money that we needed to cover the mortgage, the rental. God is amazing. His timing is often quite late. Sometimes it's quite late. We left on a plane to New Zealand and got a phone call from the vicar that we were going to work for saying, we haven't got a house for you yet. Don't worry. It's sometimes quite late. But he always provides. He always provides. It may not be how we think it's going to be. It may not be how we want it to be. But God is a God who provides when we seek first his kingdom. That is the only provisor. If we're seeking our kingdom, if we want to grow our thing, then we get on dodgy territory. He loves to bless his people. He loves to bless his people, and he'll bless us wherever. That's the amazing thing about God's blessing. It goes wherever we go. So if we go in the completely wrong direction, it still goes with us, which is really quite scary. But we get on dodgy territory. But when our feet are walking in the ways that God wants us, we can be absolutely certain of his provision. And throughout that passage, throughout that commission, he talks about going to and assembling the people to pray. Because part of God's provision is the people of God that he puts around us. Sometimes we look, there's that famous story, isn't there, of the guy that needs rescuing from a fast-flowing river. And a helicopter comes and a boat comes and all this kind of stuff. And then he gets to the end and it's all gone horribly wrong. He gets to heaven and he says, well, where was my rescue? And he says, well, I sent you a boat and I sent you a helicopter. What else do you want? And sometimes we're looking for something of God's provision when actually he's already given it to us in other people. And so we need to be people when we seek the kingdom and saying, God, is there anything that I can give to other people that will bless them? Am I God's provision for somebody else? In a moment of loneliness, in a moment of need, God, are you saying to me be an answer to that question? But his provision is always there. And so my question to us is, as we come to communion, remembering that God's provision to us was Jesus, that makes it possible. And his reminder of that is the meal that we're about to remember. The bread broken, the wine poured out, to remember his ultimate provision for us, that we can even think about seeking first his kingdom. And as we've got all ages in the room, let's just remember that seeking first the kingdom doesn't start at a certain age. You don't have to wait to a certain point. You don't have to wait to certain qualifications. You can seek the kingdom today, however young or old you are or feel. But his provision is there. So my question for us today, and for some of us, this may be something that we thought about last week as well. Do I know that I'm sent? That God has called me right now, whether I've been a Christian 5 minutes or forever, I'm being sent by him to seek first his kingdom. And what is the provision you need at this time? What is it you need? We're going to get an opportunity to pray with each other, for each other, later on. But as we come to communion, let's come to him. Remembering what he's done, remembering his provision for us in the cross. But come asking, saying, when the disciples ask Jesus how to pray, what's the rhythm of prayer that we need? He reminds us that we're talking to a father, an Abba, a good dad. But he says to ask, give us our daily bread. Give us everything that we need to do the job that we've been asked to do in whatever limitations that we feel that we have. He'll give us everything that we need. Let's just take a moment. If we could have the words on screen, brilliant. As we focus on him, let's also bring the needs that we have to him too. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Almighty God, good Father to us all, your face is turned towards the world. Love, you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home to the city where angels sing your praise. We join with them in heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. The crowds came out to see your son, yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to a table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food, took bread, broke it, gave it and said, "This is my body given for you all." Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup, gave it and said, "This is my blood shed for you all for the forgiveness of sins." Therefore, Father, with this bread and cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. Send your Spirit upon us now, that by these gifts we may feed on Christ with open eyes and hearts on fire. May we and all who share this food offer ourselves to live for you here and now, and be welcomed at your feast in heaven, where all creation worships you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. Let's just take a moment before we pray together the Lord's Prayer. And saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So come and receive. Come and remember God's provision for you in the cross. Come remember in the cross all provision is given. So we look to the cross and it reminds us that we don't need to worry because he's done it all. I'm going to invite those who are helping to distribute to come forward. There'll be stations across the front. If you want non-alcoholic or gluten-free, then come to this side, the table at the side there, where we will serve you there. And in the midst of this, the worship team will just lead us, continue to lead us in worship. So come and receive, and then go and continue in worship.